All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Going all the way back to before Unigov. Every, it seems like, 5, 6, 10 years, folks come together to decide, you know, to figure out what should we do to Indianapolis downtown? How do we make it better? And those studies go all the way back to the early 1960s when Indianapolis downtown closed up at 5 o'clock in the morning. The pigeons hung out on Monument Circle. The buses all went around. Penny's was there. And everybody said, oh, everybody's leaving to the suburbs. Downtown is on. And over the years, there have been studies that concentrated on the old Miles Square, that concentrated on what was called the Regional Center, that's bounded by West Street on the west and 65 and 70 on the other parts of the loop. Now there is a new effort to take a look at where should downtown Indianapolis be within the next 5 to 10 years, and what makes this a little bit different and caused some eyebrows to be raised, including what's left of my eyebrows. They also wanted to look at should the neighborhoods within 2.5 to 3 mile radius of downtown, of Monument Circle, really look at how they fit together or get integrated into downtown? And that raises issues of, oh, does this mean they're getting ready to come and take all the houses and run us all out to Carmel and they will take it back? So in the house is Sherry Seward. She is the new head of Indianapolis Downtown, Inc., taking the place of the legendary Tamara Zahn. So she's kind of like Andrew Luck coming behind Peyton Manning. Krista Skidmore is head of a steering committee that is dealing with velocity, and she's part of a younger generation of Indianapolis servant leaders. And also here is City County Councilor Joe Simpson, and part of his district not only intersects downtown, but intersects some of the neighborhoods surrounding downtown. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you.
First, Sherry Seward, why the need for let's study downtown Indianapolis right now?
Thank you, Amos, for having us on the show. So I have been a resident of Indianapolis all my life, and I am old. So I have been around for all the plans that you just mentioned. And historically, the city of Indianapolis has done what's called a regional center plan. Mm-hmm. It's a 20-year plan, and they update it every 10 years. And so the last regional center plan was done roughly 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so when I took this position, I obviously, being from Indianapolis, I'm well acquainted with downtown, but I've spent my entire career actually working in community development in many of the surrounding neighborhoods of Indianapolis. Right. And so for me, it's a natural idea to have the downtowns and the neighborhoods working together. But, you know, so many years ago, when the interstate came through, it really severed mm-hmm. that connection between downtown and the neighborhoods. And Councilman Simpson and I were just talking about, you know, sort of reminiscing about the good old days and you know, how nice it was to go downtown and the ease of getting there. You know, it's not quite the same as it was. And so we really need to figure out a better way of connecting the neighborhoods to downtown and downtown to the neighborhoods, because, you know, we both would enjoy, you know, the strength of the neighborhoods really strengthens downtown. If we don't have the folks coming to support the retail and the services, then those retail and services aren't going to survive. And ideally, if downtown is doing well, some of that vibrancy then helps to support the neighborhood. So there's a symbiotic relationship between the two that I think needs to be supported.
In doing that, given that except for the neighborhoods that are right in the Mile Square,
correct,
all of the neighborhoods that are surrounding downtown are economically the poorest neighborhoods in this city. That's not just the African-American neighborhoods to the north of downtown, but if you look at the southern part of downtown, which Indianapolis has historically ignored or turned a blind eye and go, well, it's a railroad track. We're not even going to look any farther there. Those tend to be more predominantly white. And then you got Hawville, which is black, white, and Hispanic. And then you got the Near East Side, which has been this 20 to 30 year melting pot
right.
that really doesn't get a lot of recognition that we've got a melting pot neighborhood in this city. How, when you try to look at all of that and where you go the next 5 to 10 years, not fall into the trap that people are thinking, this is all a plot to gentrify.
Well, I think it would be unfortunate if folks would think along those lines. We have a significant amount of vacant housing in the neighborhoods that you just described. We have more housing stock available. I would love it if people would start moving in downtown, in those surrounding neighborhoods. We need that. We need to support Center Township. We need to support the tax base. I wouldn't think of it as gentrification. I would think of it as mixed income if, in fact, we can—
It's first filling in the blanks, filling in the lots that are blank, the houses that are blank, as opposed to taking someone's existing house?
Existing houses, filling in a lot of the vacant housing. And again, we have just thousands of vacant homes. So, if it were a mixed income, intergenerational neighborhood, that's what makes a healthy neighborhood.
Krista Skidmore, you're heading the steering committee. What kind of steering committee is this, and what is Velocity going to be?
Thanks, Amos, for having me. I don't know about you, but I'd love to see how far Sherry can throw a football.
I'm tough.
We'll get working on that. Well, so the steering committee is made up of 29 members. And, in Indianapolis fashion, it's a mix of public, private individuals. We have both the business community, not just some of our bigger institutions, like WellPoint and Lilly, but also several small business owners who have chosen to headquarter their businesses in the downtown area. We have, from a diversity standpoint, something your audience may be interested in, we have 28% minority representation within the committee, a nice mix of gender, other elements of diversity present, which I think really young, old, a really nice mix when I say diversity in every sense of the word. We have folks who have grown up their whole lives here in Indianapolis. We have folks who are, from maybe outside even of the state who've moved here, who have great ideas to contribute as well. So a nice mix. But the advisory groups then support us by really coming with their subject matter expertise and trying to help us understand what do folks really want to see in terms of their downtown, right? Mm-hmm. And that's different for a lot of different populations. Councillor Simpson and I were just talking about how even his geography has a lot of different needs and wants. And
so this isn't just, we need to build a theater, or we need to build another stadium, or we need two or three more hotels, or we need to expand the convention center. It's not that.
No.
Or is it that?
Well, no, I think, I've talked about us thinking broadly about downtown. So, Sherry was talking a lot about how, the outside neighborhoods, we need to get them into downtown, but downtown needs those neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. There's a reciprocal relationship here. So it's not about densifying just in the core, coming up with attractions and other things that people, visitors can come to. In a lot of ways, we want to swing the pendulum to really focus on the locals. And we think that that's an interesting strategy also to help encourage, some of the neighborhoods to get back engaged in downtown.
And just real quick, Amos, I want to say, when I mentioned the city and the regional center, this is the first time, and I have the city support on this, where the public is engaging in a planning process to present to the city, as mm-hmm. opposed to the city doing a planning process for the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
They're receiving this well and are anxious. They're a part of this, but they're anxious to get the citizens a far broader citizen input as a part of this planning process than they have traditionally done.
You may have questions for the folks at Velocity, want to know what they're doing, want to do, or it is also, what would you like to see? Mm-hmm. In terms of improvements, not just downtown, but in the areas between 2.5-3 mile radius. That's kind of like roughly 30th Street on the north, rural Keystone on the east, Raymond Street on the south, and Tibbs on the west. And this includes the Near East Side, part of Martindale Brightwood, the southern part of Unwa, a good portion of Riverside, nearly all of Hawville, Fountain Square, the area around the old Chevrolet truck and bus plant. Let me see, what am I leaving out? Almost to Garfield Park, just to the north of Garfield Park, just to the north of Manual High School. 239-1310, 239-1310. Let me start with Raymond. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon. Yes.
I have a question for you. I go to Chicago and some of the other cities, and I have four things that I've noticed that I'm really glad you have the panel on. I've been waiting to ask is, one is a cultural center, because I know they have a cultural center that I go there for twice a year. They have jazz on one floor and a cafe on the other. And we have the city market, but the name market alone tends to lean toward businesses. And I'm just thinking about something more cultural where people could just go and sit. Or there's an area, you know, that, for culture, all culture. The other thing is an entrepreneur's way or some area where people that can't afford these massive amounts per square foot could have co-op buildings or something like that. And then the other thing is, kid-friendly areas. You go downtown, and unless there's something going on, where is there like a kids park or something other than the canal and just walking, or the zoo that's away from downtown a bit, but something a little more interactive for kids and the technology that's coming about?
Ah, so this is why we have the smartest talk show audience. And these are the kinds of things, Krista, that you're looking for
Absolutely.
From the community.
Absolutely, yeah. It's I feel like you're inside my head a little bit, Raymond. you know, when we think about the entrepreneurial side, I'll start there. There are right in and around downtown, in those immediate neighborhoods, just surrounding even the Mile Square, a lot of property as well as, you know, buildings that maybe are abandoned, that could be repurposed into small business incubators. A lot of those ideas are starting to sort of bubble up. Certainly the kid-friendly aspect, when you think about, you know, downtown, there aren't a lot of places where, you know, even just playgrounds and, you know, things like splash parks, those kinds of things where, you know, really activating our public spaces in ways that provide, you know, things for families to come and do.
Where does, I appreciate it, Raymond, thank you, 239-1310, where does the rail, there's a lot of railroads, obviously, that bisect downtown. It would probably cost a gazillion dollars to move the rail line, so that's kind of off the table. But how critical is it to really take a hard look at cleaning up the optics of it, only keeping the actual, the main line of whatever the main line is, in terms of railroads? And then the other one of the other key quality of life, and that is those that are homeless. We're not talking about panhandling. That's a more, I won't say political issue, but yes. But the real homeless folk. Because
right.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. We've got another problem over off of College, just south of Washington Street, which is kind of a homeless. I won't say a hangout. It's a community.
Yeah. Yeah. Amos, that is the reason why I'm filling in for Councilor Bob Osley. He's taking his mother's. Day is her birthday, and he's taking her on a little gambling tour that she likes to go gamble.
And happy birthday to her.
Yeah,
and I hope she wins a lot.
Yeah, So, Vop's whole idea when he sat on the committee and I had an opportunity, and it makes sense of what you just heard from both of these fine young ladies that we've been sitting out there having a good conversation. And that is, Amos, just like you are, I were a kid once upon a time. And to come downtown, to get on a bus, come downtown, go shopping, the JCPenney's, G.C. Murphy's, you know, the Ohio Theater. There were a lot of things, Harry Leveson. There were stores everywhere that you could come downtown and do shopping. And VOP is trying to get, at least in this committee, neighborhoods to tell downtown, if you're going to open your doors back up to bring us down here, what is it that I need, Joe Simpson need? And I told her, I said, well, I got a few stores I would love to have downtown, but it would be nice rather than going up on 86th Street, fighting the traffic, get on the 17th Street college bus, come straight downtown, get off, do my shopping, get on the bus and come back. I think the ideal is, and you and I have been around here a long time, that for them to open up downtown and say, now we want it to be neighborhood friendly is a change. It's a serious change. And I think that they're sincere about it. And I think that everybody out there listening is that somehow we're going to have an opportunity for those neighborhoods. And I know Councilman Miller, he's very interested in it. It's that we need to have a conversation with the neighborhoods to downtown, just as they said, not downtown talking to them. and say, what is it downtown would you like to see? JCPenney's or Sears, or what is those stores that, you know, doesn't have to be in a cluster. They can be scattered around downtown. There's plenty. But the key is you got other issues like the parking. Mm-hmm. You know, the parking is a serious, serious, serious problem for down people coming downtown. And that's the issue we got to have a conversation about. Also, the fact is that mass transit from the bus side, it will give them a lot more leverage when they can transport people downtown and there's an interchange and things can happen. But I think in the end, I would really, at least Councilor Ossley, want me to, for the neighborhoods that are wrapped around downtown, is to begin to think about it. What is it that you would like to see downtown become or be that will help you to come downtown? Because as I told them, I would come downtown and shop, probably stop by a cafe or, you know, go by some places and sit around for a minute. And I think that's what they're opening their this whole survey is about. And I would encourage people out there to, you know, change your thought pattern and start thinking about what is it that if you had to tell folks when you call in, what do you think about downtown? Because I think they want to hear, what would you like to have and what would you like to see downtown to become?
239-1310. Back to the phones in Lewis. Hi there.
Hey, look. Hey, Amos, how you doing?
Fine.
A couple of questions and one suggestion for the folks there. You know, by the way, if you're going to name stuff on my insert, you can't get the Morrow Peanut House.
there you go. There you go. Peanuts are very high, but yeah, there you go.
You know, it's a shame. I was downtown one time at the Greyhound bus station. This old lady got off a bus, had a few pieces of luggage. And it's a shame there's no city transit that will pick you up and you can get on the bus after. You have to catch a cab just to get to the main corridor of the downtown regular bus. That's a shame. And I heard the young lady speaking of diversity. Seems like the only diversity that's going on is when they use our taxpayers' dollars to hold events downtown. Mm-hmm. I mean, they promote concerts, free concerts downtown now stuff. This might come as a shock in Indianapolis, but everybody's not into hard rock and roll all the time.
I hear you.
You know, and that seems like it's telling certain segments of Indianapolis, we don't want you downtown. This is only entertainment for certain segments. And I have a suggestion. Seems like they would want to take advantage of the White River. You could have riverboat rides up and down White River, and the land on each side of White River, put some liberty shops up and down there, just like the piers out in Long Beach, California. You know, it seems like there's plenty of stuff you can do. I mean, I remember a time when Burger King used to close at 8 o'clock on the night Market Square Arena had a game going on.
Yep.
And, you know, Indianapolis is a Chicago, New York wannabe, but they're not willing to do what it takes to be. You know, it seems like we want to take a shower but don't want to get wet when it comes to entertainment and notoriety. We have spent millions of dollars begging. You hear it on the news every time. We spend millions of dollars begging people to like us, but then you shut off half of the people that want to come here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems like something needs to change.
That's, you know, that's an excellent point. I think part of the problem with the river is you've got the mini waterfall at 16th Street, then you got the mini waterfall just south of where the Washington Street Bridge used to be. But if they can figure out a way for a boat not to fall off, you know, those two waterfalls.
Well, it hasn't been clean. So it there have been great efforts to clean up the river. So by 2016, it should be at least be clean enough for us to want to live close to it and have shops around it. So I'm with you on the river idea. I think that it would be great to start building residential and retail in and around that area.
Is it also looking at smaller retail, not just smaller retail downtown, but encouraging retail, that there are retail opportunities in the neighborhoods? You know, granted, when you know, I pulled the numbers for this little area, went over to Mr. Savvy and figured out how to work Savvy last night. And there's basically 86,000 people in the area you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But then the downside is 45% make less than $25,000 a year. And I'm sure on one level that's scaring, you know, retailers away, but that 42% is still going to spend something. And they're going to spend something somewhere.
That's right.
Or they're taking a cab, which is outrageous, to try to go to a store on 38th Street or go all the way down to Raymond Street, where there's probably the next closest grocery store to downtown is down on Raymond Street.
That's right.
To shop, which is crazy. Let me go to JR at 239-1310. Hi, JR.
Hey, good day, Dr. Amos. And,
good day.
Good day to your guest as
yes.
well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just had basically two questions / comments. The first one I wanted to address for the young people. And if I may, at our particular church that I belong to, we always have, for instance, coming up Friday, May 3rd, we have what we call Family Movie Night.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost is $5 for an adult, $3.50 for a child. I believe the movie we're going to show May 3rd would be, it's called Happy Feet.
All right. Well, how does that affect, how does that deal with what we're talking about right now?
Well, what it does is it gives young folks some place to go. We also have boxing,
right.
basketball, and what I'm trying to address, Dr. Brown, mm-hmm. is the fact that there are things to do that young people can do, and as far as downtown, and I don't want to ramble, but the issue with mass transit,
mm-hmm.
I worked down at the convention center during that Nike volleyball tournament, and I had to pay Amos $17 to park my car at the mall park's garage.
Wait a minute, $17? $17?
Yes, yes, yes. Even
special
though I got
event.
A validation from the movie house,
yeah.
Because if I hadn't got that validation, I would have had to pay like $23. So I did save $6. But actually, you know. Being the 11th largest city in North America, am I right or wrong?
11th largest city in this country, yes.
All right. Why can't the leadership of this city stop spending tons and tons of money on these so-called studies about mass transit? You know, the buses stop running downtown at 11:45 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, that's a crying shame. And I'm going to be honest with you, Dr. Brown. I love you, man. And I know you used to give salutes to first-time callers.
Uh-huh.
And after 38 years of being on the air and,
right.
and informing the community, I'd like to offer you a salute to Mr. Amos Brown. Everyone meet a man who's admired in this town, a transplant from Illinois. His name is Amos Brown.
All right,
I
appreciate the salute, but I need to get back to the subject at hand. But I appreciate that. But he also raised a suggestion. On the one hand, we are a lower cost city than people because if people tried to park it during a special event in Chicago, it'd be $50, and that's the parking lot. But it also points out that I think a lot of times. People don't, and this may go back to coordination with the mall and what have you. People don't know when it is a special event. I think in people's minds, they know, okay, a Colts game, that's a special event. We know they're going to jack up the rates. Pacer playoffs. Yeah, they probably jacking up the rates because we're in the playoffs. But nobody would expect a Nike volleyball to trigger the $20 fee.
You know, we do have a website, and normally we will put on when there is going to be a special event. So hopefully folks can go on the Indianapolis Downtown Inc. website and look at the information on there and know when there are special events going on and assume that parking will be more expensive. But, you know, we always talk about parking. We have over 72,000 parking spaces in downtown Indianapolis, and that does not include the university, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have sufficient parking. It's just it's
you got to walk a little bit.
Yeah. You do have to walk a little bit. Most people walk three blocks for an event. They'll walk longer.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole parking and we need transit. As the gentleman mentioned, 11th largest city. We need good transit, and that we won't have to worry about parking.
Back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What's up?
Great. I was calling to ask. We'll make.
Okay.
It's a better term. Since your guests were coming up with ideas concerning what they can do about the downtown and surrounding areas, I was wondering, would you try to have a survey which included the children, whereas they can give you a suggestion about what they may want? Because as adults, we figure that we would probably want to know know what's best for our children, and then once it's put put in place, then come to find out this is not really what they want to do. So maybe it would be a better idea if we can ask our children find out what they want.
That's good. And we're in the process right now of trying to get as much participation in our survey, which can be found at indievelocity.com. It can also be made available through in the next couple of weeks through the entire public library system as well. But I think you make a great point, and one that we could consider trying to get maybe in front of some of the schools and in the surrounding, you know, in and around the downtown area. So I think, you know, that's a really great point.
239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name is We'll Take a Break. Come back with more with Sherry Seward, the head of Indianapolis Downtown Inc., Krista Skidmore, head of the steering committee. It's called Indy Velocity, and they got a website called IndyVelocity.com. IndyVelocity.com, and City County Councilor Joe Simpson. It's afternoon's with Amos on a very busy Thursday. All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name is back to the phones and Anonymous. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi
to the guests and to Amos.
Hello.
I'm a senior citizen and born and raised here in Indianapolis. And the problem is when they redid downtown, I feel like that they purposely built it to keep low-income or poor people away from downtown because they didn't put any five-and-dime stores down there. And that was in those days, that was the drawing to downtown, all the five-and-dime stores. And then, of course, we would go into Blocks and Ayers and all that. And my question is, other than the way that I feel, the reason they didn't, why didn't they? And there's not even, to my knowledge, in the Circle Center Mall, a Dollar Tree store.
That, you know, that is a very interesting idea. That's very interesting because people are talking about wanting to bring a Target downtown, and that's one step above Dollar General, Dollar Tree, and what's the other one? Family Dollar. Yeah, that is a good point because she makes a point that the retail downtown, other than the marsh that's already there in over by Alabama, and then the new marsh that's coming over by Capitol and Senate.
Right.
Other than that, everything does tend to move middle income and upper. And even the one drugstore, it's hard to find a CVS. It's the front of the CVS is not as friendly. Walgreens nobody's figured out how to get Walgreens completely down. I mean, they're 16th Street, but they're not any farther downtown than that. What about the mix of retail, that everything does not have to be Keystone at the Crossing type stores?
You know, retail across the country is struggling. They still, you know, haven't made 100% comeback. But, you know, retail really has a formula, and they look at incomes and they look at density. And so if there isn't sufficient density and incomes within a certain radius, they won't come. Mm-hmm. And that's it, period. Mm-hmm. And so if we, we were talking about the neighborhoods and the vacancy that is in many of the areas.
Right.
You know, if we can figure out a way to get folks to start moving back downtown, you know, we build that density, and with that comes incomes. I don't care what income we're talking about, but we're adding incomes back to the surrounding area, which then supports retail.
Does it also maybe encourage more entrepreneurial retail? Mass Avenue tends to be a lot of entrepreneurial retail that tends to be kind of, you know, high class, hoity-toity, to maybe encourage other entrepreneurs to do more working class type retail. So if you can't get a big chain store, you know, in there, fine.
Local,
here's a smaller retailer that's selling things that that the caller would want, and others, and not charging an arm and three left legs.
And we talked about that we talk about to the extent that a lot of neighborhoods want those little retail areas in their neighborhoods. They want, you know, besides the barbershop, the beauty shops, Crosstown. I'm going to use them as one. When you used to come across Crosstown Barbecue Heaven, there was a lot of shops that you went down over there to Douglas Park. Mm-hmm. We're having this discussion in their quality of life plan with the near Northeast CDC. And we are having that discussion about how do you open that area back up and rebuild it to have those specialty shops and small businesses, because downtown cannot fill everybody's void. I think neighborhoods through their quality of life plan, even though we're going to say, hey, downtown, this is some major stuff we would like, they have to look within themselves to make sure they do. But I think they're absolutely right, Amos, until we deal with this housing issue, you know, the vacancies, you know, Martindale Brightwood's got them. Even 202 senior housing. We were talking about the Mirafac, and I think you said the number was 1 in 5.
Probably by the year 2025, 1 in every 5 Hoosiers will be elderly.
Right. And so, you know, that is the issue that I'm having over in Martindale Brightwood, where there's a lot of seniors who would love to come out of their house and move into senior things. So there are some real broad issues out there right now. And I think downtown is trying to say, okay, how do we get this mix going?
Is that going to be a concern when you look at some of those neighborhoods, both to the north, on all directions within 2.5 to 3 miles, there may be a disproportionate number of seniors that live there now, white and black.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had that discussion about that, and that's what we were talking about. You couldn't build enough 202 houses to fill this, but I think the ideal is that whatever we can do in the neighborhoods or, you know, close to downtown to fill that void. Because seniors, Sister Oliver, I appreciate you calling in, but I think the key she's saying is that she would like to come downtown and have a friendly downtown to go shopping at the, you know, the dime stores, which used to be the days. They've changed their names now. But I think that there would be a lot more seniors. They spend a lot of money. And they may come out during the noon and spend that money, go back in. But we, you know, the downtown, and I think that's what I give them credit for with the Velocity, is that they're saying, you know, what is it that we can change downtown so that we can bring the money, you know, the amount of revenue and fill these void houses, because people need to know there is school structure and how downtown is built.
Back to the phones at 239-1310. Bill Crawford, hi there.
Hey, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Siri.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
All right. Good to hear from you and you, the other guests. Amos, I grew up in Lockville Garden, and Lockville was approximate, contiguous to downtown Indianapolis. That area, you could go all the way up towards the river. You could go all the way up to a budding downtown.
Right.
Was racially, you go all the way out towards Riverside, all the way up to Senate and over to Douglas Park, and all that was racially homogenous, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Every effort that has been made to revitalize those areas, and I supported downtown development.
Right.
There was a commitment made to, when Lockville was, the people were displaced involuntarily, and they went to the Barrington area. There was a commitment made that 20% of those homes in Lockville would be available for low-income residents, not just low-income students, but low-income residents. Well, if you do a census of the population, who's living there? It's not low-income neighborhood people. It's low-income students. Or student housing, probably breaking the income. If you do a census of businesses downtown, how many would be ethnically or racial, let me just say it. How many would be black? You know, and that's easy to demonstrate and to prove. My concern is about the expanded footprint of downtown. I heard you say 30th Street on the north, Tibbs on the west, Eastone Rural on the east, and what did you say on the south?
Raymond.
Raymond Street, okay. That area, if you look at it, you have to go in. By the way, I'm a property owner, me and my wife. We own property in the 800 block on Camp Street, just back of the Urban League, right across the street from the Urban League Park. But I'm in that area every day, and so I know the demographics of that area. Wirebacker Terrace, Salt Capital, or no, people were involuntarily displaced. Economic integration has never occurred. And I would challenge, and I'm not against it. If it makes sense, I would support it. But I want to know, give me a overview right now, asset inventory, of where we are in those areas in terms of home ownership, rental housing, and they automatically, when they want you to move, you move. And so what we have to have is a manifestation of success stories mm-hmm. about how we move these things and who benefits. And that needs to be clear, and who's at the table.
Right.
I haven't heard who is at the table on velocity.
All right. Krista, who's at the table?
All right. Well, lots of folks. So I'll start with the steering committee, and all of the steering committee members are listed on IndyVelocity.com as well. So I'd encourage you to take a look at the whole list. In terms of, I'll name a few folks. Our Councillor Simpson mentioned Councillor Ossoli, who's been engaged in the process. We have folks from LISC. Bill Taft has been engaged in the process. We have a number of other members. Well, I won't go into all of the details because you can look that up, but I do want to make Mr. Crawford a point that I think while we're looking broadly at this study area that you mentioned, 30th on the top end and all the way around in this square, it's a big area for sure. I don't think I would necessarily call that downtown in terms of where we're concentrating our efforts. I think what we're trying to do with Velocity is to say, the regional center is really, IDI's focus area, as well as a lot of our other partnering organizations who are engaged from, our Indiana Sports Corp to our Arts Council to LISC to Keep Indianapolis Beautiful, to a number of the small businesses and large businesses are located in that regional center. But we didn't want to think in an insular way about how this plan was structured. We wanted to really focus further out and say, really recognize this reciprocity and that be thoughtful in, I think, in the way that you're suggesting that, as we think about how we grow, that we're doing so in an inclusive way.
And Bill, this is Councilman Simpson, and I think from the neighborhood point of view is that we have about 31 million coming into Indianapolis on the section, I want to say 108, where the rehab money, mm-hmm. and a lot of that money will be dispersed around the city, around this area of a mile square from downtown. And a lot of that money is going to go through those CDCs. And we're talking about renovating those houses because the most important thing there is, and I know they're not aware of this, but this is an issue in which the city, the HUD, has made a commitment to Indianapolis to start having these sections, these renovation loans, so that people who want to come back into the city, and I know a lot of CDCs are working on, they're going to do a block at a time, and they're going to try to... This is an issue in which neighborhoods are working very hard on. So they're at the table on this.
But Bill raised a question, and I remember the redevelopment of Lockfield mm-hmm. was supposed to include a certain percentage of low to moderate income. And if students are eating up those spaces, and if some of those other developments that have been built, the apartment developments, were built under that same provision, and students are eating that up, then is part, then to me, part of Velocity should be to put in as a plank and a platform that housing downtown, particularly if it's being subsidized by uncle's money, needs to have true economic integration of the housing stock, not just students. Mm-hmm. I think students are going to be a mix of downtown. That mm-hmm. that's part yeah. of the mix, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but not to the exclusion of somebody that wants to maybe continue to stay close to the center part of the city mm-hmm. and have something and be in someplace affordable and can't afford the $1,000 apartment.
And let me pick that up, Bill. Yeah. It's Sherry. Good to hear from you. So not a part of Velocity, but a complement to it. IDI hired Public Policy Institute to do a housing study because you know that my background really is in housing and community development. And so I was concerned about really understanding the demographics of the downtown population. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of folks wanting to move downtown. We're seeing a lot of growth in the housing market. But we're developing a lot of the market rate housing, or we have done a lot with the Housing Authority on refinancing and rebuilding a lot of their existing housing stocks. We have a lot on the very low income, the 30% of median income, and on the high market rate, 100% and above. But we really aren't providing the middle income housing that we need to. That's my sense, but we'll have the results of the housing study back in June so that we can really look at who's living downtown, what are their incomes, what are all the demographics, and what are we missing? You know, what else should we be building? Where should it be located? That sort of thing. So maybe we can come back on in June and talk more about the housing.
Let me go back to the phones and Ms. B. Hi there.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
And your guest?
Fine.
I read this morning, Amos,
yes,
that they want to get rid of those homes over by Attucks. That's close to town, and they want to build a grocery store. Now, to me, that seems like they're going backwards. I don't understand that. Why are they going to tear those people's homes down that they built and live in instead of helping them fix them up if they, you know, need it? And then want people to come downtown. I don't understand that. That's where you can catch the bus and go town.
Well, Miss B, this is why we have the smartest talk show audience in the world, because I was saving that for a little bit later in the program, because I don't want that issue to get clouded up with our guests. I will say that it has caught our guests, including Councilor Simpson, by surprise. They are not necessarily pleased with any plan that would endanger the Flanner House homes,
yes,
which is just as much a part of the history of the city as the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, yes, and Monument, yes, Circle.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the coin, Meyer is a good friend. Meyer, unlike some other retailers that don't do business in our community and want to have the patronage of the African-American community, Meyer does. So I also want to reach out to Meyer because, yes, they're a friend.
I understand.
You know,
that
there's some other people like Target that aren't friends. but Meyer is. I want to, you know, reach out and see what is coming from. But this is developing. It's going to be. We're going to talk about this a little bit later. So I don't want this to get bogged down in the folks here. But I thank you for putting it out there on Front Street.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
I just wanted to mention one of the biggest issues with downtown Ransom Place is the lack of accessible sidewalks. We have seniors. We have two senior citizen buildings in the neighborhood. They can't cross the street. They're basically prisoners in their homes. We can't get the city to recognize that, you know, we need to be able to cross the street, especially 10th Street, the way Martin Luther King Street is designed. You're gonna die if you try to cross the street.
So we're talking about a big issue,
and that's one of the reasons that you don't have families living here. It's because there's nothing here.
So this is the sidewalks in Ransom Place.
Yeah, the 10th Street, 11th Street, Martin Luther King. There's a Paca, St.
Okay.
Clair,
got
Indiana
it.
Avenue.
Yeah.
We cannot cross the street. DPW is saying that the seniors need to walk a mile out of their way to cross the street. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. You do take your life in your own hands.
It's crazy. I'm being told to back up into traffic going 40 miles an hour.
Right.
It's nothing. They say it's nothing they can do. But that's one of the biggest problems, and that's
agree.
Why the students are coming down here and moving, because they can walk to school.
You made a point, and you're right. Trying to cross Dr. Martin Luther King or trying to cross West Street, you'll be like Jesse Owens or Ralph Metcalf in terms of running that race. And it's almost like, this just hit me. Remember, they widened the street and narrowed the lanes when they had to close the interstate to do Hyperfix. Yep. They ain't going to do Hyperfix for a while. Maybe it's time to go back to widening the lanes and slowing the street down a little bit. And maybe Chief Height ought to, you know, get some of them officers out there with the radar gun. That would slow them down real quick.
Bad idea.
That's a great point. I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a quick break, come back with our remaining moments with Velocity, and then we'll open up the lines and I'll tell you about this other stuff that's going on. It's afternoon's with Amos. Oh, speaking of downtown, if you're looking for something to do, Mother's Day, AM 1310 The Light presents the House of Blues World Famous Gospel Brunch, Mother's Day. That's Sunday, May 12th, second Sunday, at the Old National Center. Isn't that downtown? The Old National Center. The Old Marat. No, it's Old National. It's Old National Center featuring the Marat. Enjoy a Southern style buffet and gospel music that'll move your spirit. Doors will open at 12 noon. It's going to be hosted by AM 1310 The Light's own Donna Shealy. For more information, just go to our website right now at praiseindy.com. That's praiseindy.com. This afternoon, see the things we're doing to bring downtown. This afternoon's with Amos after these. All right, let me go to Larry right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
This city is blighted, really. That's what they're not saying. All you have to do is go and look around the monument, how they destroyed that monument, the last restoration job they done on, which was a botch job. They've destroyed that beautiful monument. And these people, you know, I'm with Bill. Back in 62, 63, I lived over where IU is now.
Right.
When we went downtown, our mother told us we were not to go past Ohio Street. Then I found out from my mentor, Julian, who was a hairdresser at Blocks during the 20s and 30s, even Jewish women could not go into Blocks and get their hair done because the hair was so nappy and the white women didn't want them in there in the same sinks they were getting washed out in. But they had better take a look at Indianapolis's history. The only time that we have been a city on the move and were prosperous is when we had an homogenous downtown. Who is willing to make the sacrifice? What officials, what councilmen are willing to make the sacrifice? What people are willing to make the sacrifice so that this city can survive? I mean, it's something that's going to have to be done. I mean, they're trying to soft sell it and push it under the table. We need to bring it on top of the table. We want a homogenous downtown. We want to say to our visitors and our conventioners, if you come to Indianapolis, you're going to have an homogenous situation to be in. There ought to be some websites set up to get this point across, that Indianapolis is an homogenous city, and we're not going to have to worry about seeing colored people when you come here. So
but
that's
I don't.
What
but,
they
but I don't think. I don't,
I can
but that's not real. That's not real, and we don't need to go back to the 1960s or the 1940s. We need to stay in the 21st century and move on to the 22nd. Let me go to Terry at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you today? And how
I'm
are
fine.
You guys?
I'm fine.
Okay, I've got a list of things. I'll try to make it quick.
Come on.
When I say cold weather, I'm talking about under 50 degrees. public transportation, road, rail, and water, with stops no more than every half mile up to 5 miles out with hours that make sense for the users, stops should have heat. Well-placed public restrooms with hot water and heat. Public showers and lockers, especially for those who are on foot, because if you're using public transpo, going home and coming back for an activity often does not make sense. For the larger events, officers, regular or volunteers, that actually help direct traffic, because there aren't enough incidents that require officers to just sit or stand and wait for something to happen. When we're encouraging supplier vendor ownership downtown, let's encourage participation by women and people of color at least 2 times more than the national average. Let's mandate women and people of color being included in all possible ways on committees, boards, and groups by at least 2 times more than the local or national status quo. Let's mandate openness and honesty concerning local and state government offices about the inclusion, employment, retention, promotion of women and people of color. You already touched on public housing and housing in general, but more non-student, no or low rent mortgages or rent for all types of living spaces. And please encourage local employers to hire city youth for summer or long-term employment. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate nice. That. 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News. Name is this process now moves to where and how can listeners get engaged in it?
Yeah, we've got a couple of ways to do that. So first is the survey that I mentioned. So again, indievelocity.com. Short survey won't take you more than 15, 20 minutes. So, we need as much and as broad input as possible. Second way is we will be holding a series of neighborhood roundtables, which I think will be another way for listeners to get engaged and make their voice be heard. You know, I do want to just quickly comment on the last several callers. Wonderful ideas. Mm-hmm. You can't see us, but we're sitting here, pen to pad, writing them down. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, you know, the themes that you're raising are ones that we've heard already and that are certainly on the radar screen. And you know, I'll also say, as a woman business owner in the downtown area, you know, and someone who's spent most of my career, you know, in HR and in talent management, you know, it's important to me that we think about both persons of color, but also women-owned businesses as a part of the mix.
Amos, let me say this. This is the last discussion before we came in the room to you, was talking about the melting pot. How do we bring a village of people from different nationality downtown so that when people come in town, they can see that we have diversity from all segment of the population? And we were trying to figure out how can you blend that in? Well, most of them are not going to come downtown business-wise unless they know that it's going to be profitable and it's so expensive. So, you know, there are some things that Sherry and all of us were talking about. And that is the real issue for downtown, is how do we not bring just one segment of population? How do we bring all the population, the Germans? I mean, you know, I mean, there are a lot of people here in Indianapolis, and we need to bring that out. So when people do look at Indianapolis, like Larry said, they don't see just one side. They see all sides, and people need to know that we're well diverse here. And that's going to be the ultimate mm-hmm. issue of how successful this plan is.
Agreed. Well, Sherry Shewitt, who's also the head of IDI, while we have you here, hopefully this cold weather is done, which means that it's warm weather, and that means young people will be looking for something to do. And what's the situation with young people downtown now?
Well, so far, let me start by saying downtown is incredibly safe. Mm-hmm. I think when there is an issue that occurs downtown, because it is so safe, it becomes almost sensationalized. Mm-hmm. So now I'm not suggesting, though, that, you know, there isn't a perception when the kids are downtown that it gets a little unruly. Mm-hmm. Kids want to go where other kids are. Mm-hmm. And right now, Joe and I were talking about, you know, the malls are the places that kids want to go. They can get something to eat. They can hang out. They can see their friends. So, you know, and thinking about the downtown mall, well, Castleton, you know, there are other malls where youth want to congregate. I think that we just need to be very vigilant about making sure that there's support there so that things, you know, don't get out of hand.
There was also the canal. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of years has also been the hangout. Is there concern on the canal? And I think that's state property, and the state police have primary responsibility to
part
keep
city,
order.
Part state, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have talked to IMPD. They are going to put more officers on the street in June. IDI is now paying for off-duty police officers on bike patrol. And, you know, we've been having conversations with the 10 Point about how we supplement the eyes on the street, and mm-hmm. Just so that we have sufficient folks there that are keeping an eye on things. And if there trouble breaks out, you know, folks will know about it faster.
And then in the wake of the whole situation at Boston, Mini Marathon is in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There'll be adequate, you know, security and plans just to make sure nobody, you know, is bringing pressure cookers downtown.
That's correct. Just met with Public Safety Director Riggs this week, and we had that conversation. So they totally understand that it's going to be all hands on deck.
All right. Sherry Seward, the head of the Indianapolis Downtown Inn, Krista Skidmore with Indy Velocity, and City County Councilor Joe Simpson. Guys, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.